And this is Morning Edition on KASU. It is 8:18, and joining me on the phone lines right now, we're talking to U.S. District Congressman for the 1st Congressional District of Arkansas, Rick Crawford. Mr. Crawford, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on KASU.
Hey, good morning to you. I am literally right now gassing up my Jeep and getting ready to head to the airport and head back to Washington. So.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk about the lame duck session of Congress. I guess we can go ahead and talk about that real quick before we go into some of the other things concerning the election and that. I know that members of Congress are supposed to be back in Washington tonight. What do you expect to come out of the lame duck session?
Well, I think the fact that Trump won will have an awful lot to do with what we take up at the lame duck session. First and foremost, I think you're going to obviously have to fund the government. So you'll see more than likely a CR. Had Hillary won, I suspect it might have been a little bit different, possibly an omnibus. I don't know. And I'm not saying that that won't happen, but I suspect what people want to do is just sort of punt into the next Congress, give the president time to get sworn in, and let's everybody get on the same page with regard to the agenda going forward. So I suspect what we will more than likely see is a continuing resolution that gets us probably into the first quarter of next year, and probably very little else in the lame duck of any significance. Although, you know, there may be some tax extenders and some things like that that come out, which would actually be good because we're trying to move our frame account legislation, which is a self-funded disaster relief for farmers. Obviously, that's a tax component, and we want to see if we can't move this because Ways and Means Committee is favorable to it and they like it. So I think there's a possibility it could be rolled into this year's tax package.
Okay. One thing I was going to ask you about as well is do you expect that that House Speaker Paul Ryan will remain the House Speaker for this next session?
I do, and I know that there was some there have been a lot of folks that have been anti-Paul Ryan, and just as there were a lot of people that were anti-Boehner, I understand that it's when you're in a leadership position, you know, there's a high degree of accountability and responsibility, and people get frustrated, and they immediately look at what's the first question anybody ever asked? You know, who's in charge here? You know, and they want answers. And so Paul Ryan, the fact that over the last 2 weeks prior to the election, 2 to 3 weeks prior to the election, he was out there actively campaigning to bring Republicans home. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he's the reason that Trump won Wisconsin, but I can tell you this, he is very, very influential in Wisconsin, and they have a phenomenal mechanism in place in Wisconsin. And so I think it is fair to say that he had some influence in the outcome of Wisconsin, which was critical. As we were talking about offline, you know, Wisconsin was one of those states that people were anxiously awaiting. You know, it's typically a blue state, but it flipped this time. And I think that Ryan's previous and Paul Ryan had everything to do with that. And so we saw an overture on the part of Paul Ryan almost immediately following the election. We saw the same extended to him from President-elect Trump. I think there's a good rapport there. And I think he's going to need a steady hand, you know, in the legislature to be able to implement the agenda that he has. In both Paul Ryan and Donald Trump, I think, need each other at this point in time.
Yeah, and some people were curious about that relationship. It seemed like at parts during the campaign of President-elect Trump that that relationship between the both of them, Trump and Ryan, had been strained in some areas.
Oh, no question. Yeah, it was early on. And I mean, because some of the bombastic comments of then-candidate Trump, you know, people weren't sure how to handle that, and a lot of people handled it a lot of different ways. You know, ultimately, though, President-elect Trump prevailed, and I think Paul Ryan, he's indicated that he was impressed with the campaign and the level of support that he had, and you could see there at the last 2 to 3 weeks that Paul Ryan was fully invested in bringing Republicans home, and he indicated that he campaigned with Pence. Mike Pence and Paul Ryan are good friends, served together in Congress for many years, and that's the other thing that I think is going to bode well for President Trump, is that he selected Mike Pence as his running mate, And that will have an awful lot to do with, you know, the success of the administration, because the legislature and the executive branch do need to work together.
Have you had a chance to talk to President-elect Trump yet since the election?
I doubt President-elect Trump knows my name. I haven't had, but I hope I'll get the opportunity and look forward to serving under a Republican president. It'll be interesting to see how things change from my perspective. Being in the majority is one thing, but having the executive branch in our column is another. And I think we have a very positive agenda for the country. And I think with the Republican president in there, we can realize a good part of that.
Let's talk about a few things. There are some things that I know that a lot of people are hearing about. First of all, one of the big things is repeal and replace Obamacare. That's one of the things that I understand that a special session of Congress might even be held to talk about that. How would that work? And what would you say, the second part of the question, what do you say to those people who are already enrolled under Obamacare that have been using Obamacare and now they're about to possibly lose Obamacare? I mean, how would the repeal and replace work, and what do you say to those people?
Well, I say that I'm right there with you. I'm under Obamacare, and I have very seldom use it, and the reason is because it's the deductibles are so high, and all the fees that you have to suck up yourself prevent a whole lot of people from going to the doctor anyway or utilizing that health care. Basically, it serves as nothing more than a catastrophic type of coverage. For folks that are on that, I think things are going to get better. We're going to continue to have to rely on employer-based health care, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but for those folks who can have the wherewithal to manage their own health care through HSAs and other things, I think that's an important thing to note as well. And then taking down the competition barriers from state to state, also critical. Pre-existing conditions, that's addressed in our replacement, and that's important as well. And then, a naturally occurring phenomenon in the marketplace was allowing individuals up to age 26 to stay on their parents' policy until such time as they acquire gainful employment. And 26 seems to be a reasonable age for that to happen. And so all those things are baked into the replacement. So anything that might have been considered positive with the Affordable Care Act, we're certainly taken into consideration. So it's not a situation where, we're jerking the rug out from under people and saying, sorry about this, but you're on your own. That's not the case at all. The fact is that we need to be more diligent in looking for ways to bend the cost curve down, empower people, put people back in charge of their health care, make it a patient-centered, market-based system. And I think we'll start to see costs go down. Ultimately, that's what we're talking about. We don't want a situation where we compromise an individual's ability to access quality health care. And we don't want a situation where we see quality deteriorate because more and more our best and brightest are saying, no, I don't want to get into the health care field because I can't make any money at that. And it's so highly regulated that I just can't see managing a practice with the federal government intervening at every turn. So what we want to see is a more market-based approach. We want to empower patients so that they can make the choices that they need for their health care and their family's health care without the government intervention that has been a hallmark of Obamacare.
U.S. Congressman Rick Crawford joining us here on KASU. What do you think about Arkansas Works and some of the state exchanges that people have, that some states like Arkansas have had? Would that go away as well?
I think it probably will, and my concern about those types of programs has been and has been from the get-go with Obamacare. Not that the states were not capable; that's not it. The problem is that I think it's safe to say that the Obama administration, with regard to health care, is probably far more generous than any other administration would ever hope to be. And so even if Hillary had won, it was pretty safe to say that you were going to see a major decline or decrease in the funding and the match from the federal level. And that would have left a huge budget hole here in Arkansas for us to find a way to try and fill it. And so the challenge was and is for our state legislature to try and make lemonade out of lemons. And I think, you play the cards you're dealt. And unfortunately, we were dealt a bad hand with the Affordable Care Act. And so, you know, trying to make the best of a bad situation. And I think what we'll see in a replacement scenario is a better hand dealt to the states to allow them to better implement a health care policy that works for everybody concerned. So I think most assuredly the glass is half full here. I don't think there's any reason for people to be afraid. And I think that we need to look forward to, you know, the kinds of changes that will come, drive costs down, put patients back in charge of their health care, and get the government out of it as much as possible. And I think that's we're hopeful. And I think Arkansas will see that. And we can move forward and improve our economy and improve the employers part of it and the whole nine yards.
Well, how do you think that this new plan would affect if you take away Obamacare, you repeal it, you replace it? How do you think that it would help or affect rural hospitals who some have argued that Obamacare was actually able to give them payments for money that they hadn't received previously? I mean, what do you think how do you think that will affect rural hospitals?
Well, that's actually probably one of the myths about Obamacare. Critical access hospitals, which are, you know, as the name implies, they are a critical part of rural America and healthcare delivery. Critical access hospitals were hurt inordinately. And so basically their funding was shrink. And I can think of a number of hospitals in our district that are critical access. And Piggott comes to mind, DeWitt, Arkansas, Salem, Arkansas, all up at Lake Village, Dumas, all up and down the Delta region and throughout the district into the Ozarks. You know, we have a whole lot of critical access hospitals, and their very existence was threatened as a result of the Affordable Care Act. Obamacare, critical access hospitals funding was cut tremendously. And so what we've seen is that healthcare under the Obama administration has been sort of about developing a template, a one-size-fits-all based on a major metropolitan population base. So, for example, if you live in Chicago, maybe things are better for you. They certainly are better for you than if you live in Helena, from the standpoint of access to health care. And, you know, we have some unique challenges in rural America with regard to access. And, you know, we are, you know, challenged logistically in getting to the hospital. And so the further you have to go, the more compromised you are and the less likely you are to have a favorable outcome in an episode of care. So, you know, what we want to do is make sure that rural America is not forgotten in this whole mix. And that's why we've set up, going back 3 years ago, in fact, it might have been about 4 years ago, we started what we call the Delta Health Improvement Project, which is geared towards studying and developing policy for healthcare delivery in rural America. So we call it DHIP. We're partnering with Arkansas State University and other providers. And hopefully this will be an ongoing study that helps us develop policy where rural America is brought into the mix and considered when we're talking about an overarching policy development like healthcare.
I wish we had more time to talk about some of the other things that I would love to talk with you about, like President Obama's executive actions, Supreme Court nominations. We can talk about these things at another time. But I guess in the last 60 seconds that we have here, do you feel it's really necessary that Republicans try to undo everything that President Obama did by way of repealing and everything? Is that really necessary?
Well, I don't think it was really necessary to undo everything he did, but the things that he did that required our attention, I think, were absolutely critical. One of the things that comes to mind most recently is immigration. And that had to be undone legislatively. You think about, waters of the U.S., a gross overreach that would have impacted us inordinately here in Arkansas. That had to be addressed. And things of that nature, you know, look, it's not against the Constitution to utilize executive power. But the nature of the executive orders, it's not that he implemented more executive orders than any other president. It was the nature of the executive orders that was problematic. And many times they were not constitutional, as the courts have borne out. Obamacare, we had to go to court on a couple of provisions of Obamacare that had to be addressed. And so, unfortunately, when you try to go around the legislative branch, a co-equal branch of government as an executive branch, and you have sort of disregarded the role that the legislative branch plays, then unfortunately we're going to have to go another route. So if you want to marginalize the legislature, then you can expect that there's going to be some legal action, and we have to settle this in the judicial branch. I don't want to see it done that way, but as long as he was president, he forced the hand of Congress to utilize whatever judicial efforts were necessary to try and push back. And so I don't think we'll see that under a Trump administration. I do think that you're going to see some executive orders as every administration utilizes that constitutional authority, but I don't think that you'll see the affront to the Constitution that was brought out almost routinely with executive orders where President Obama was concerned.
Congressman Crawford, we're out of time, and we appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Congressman Rick Crawford joining us here on KASU. You can listen to these interviews back on our podcast here on KASU.org.